You're listening to Leading and Learning. This is the place where we talk about practical leadership, theology, fitness, how to create winning habits, and so much more. My name's David Spell, and I'm a retired police officer, a pastor, a New Testament scholar, and a leadership coach. My goal on Leading and Learning is to help you live your best life. Thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome back to Leading and Learning. This is episode number 418, The Heart of Leadership. Now, you go to any bookstore, I guess there's still bookstores out there, but if you go to any bookstore and go to the shelves where they house leadership books, you're going to see so many different types of leadership books. Some from a secular point of view, some from a spiritual point of view. Some are going to cover how to cast vision. Some are going to cover how to set goals. Some are going to talk more about management issues. There's so many different components and aspects of leadership. Every leader has a different philosophy, a different way of looking at leadership, and that's fine. We're all different, and that's what is such a great thing about studying this topic, because we can learn so much from so many different leaders. But I want to approach leadership from a little bit of a different point of view. The heart of leadership. We're going to talk about essentially leadership lessons from Jesus. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then we'll unpack it a little bit. This is from Matthew 5, verses 2 to 12. Actually, we'll start with verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." All right, David, how in the world does this relate to leadership? These things called the Beatitudes. Well, if you've read the Bible much, you know that this is the preface, or the introduction, if you will, to Jesus' most famous sermon. His most famous sermon was the Sermon on the Mount. It occupies Matthews 5, 6, and 7, and it's fascinating because it may very well be one of the first or the only complete sermons we have from the lips of Jesus. You get an idea reading most of his other messages that they're snippets, they're clips, they're not verbatim transcripts of a 20, 30, 40, 50-hour long message. But here, the Sermon on the Mount could very well be an entire message. It's three chapters. It flows cohesively. And when we read these 12 verses, we're getting the introduction. Of course, every great speaker has an introduction to draw you in, and that's what Jesus does. But I actually want to look at these things through the lens of leadership. So stay with me. I think you're really going to enjoy this. You know, when we're talking about leadership, we tend to think in terms of a particular competency on how to gather people, on how to build teams, on how to manage our time, on the administrative parts of leadership. But sometimes we forget about the character traits that go with leadership. And this is something that we've been focusing on in my particular church. We've actually got a system called the Leadership Pipeline, where we're taking people down this journey towards leadership. And we're working through some books by Mac Lake. I'll actually put one or two of them in the resource highlights so that you can check them out. They're great books on leadership, but they actually do this. They don't just talk about the competency, the physical or natural skill, but they also talk about the character traits that we need to have to be leaders. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's giving us these amazing character traits that we need to live by, but when we apply them to ourselves as leaders, it really takes them to another level. Let me start off by talking about poor in spirit. Now, I'm talking specifically in this particular one to Christian leaders, because when we talk about being poor in spirit, we're not talking about poverty. We're not talking about not having money or living in a rundown house and driving a beat-up car. We're talking about being poor in spirit. We're talking about someone who knows how much they need God and how much they need other people. Now, as Christians, this comes in the form of relying on God's help in the form of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. As Christians, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come as a helper. That was the actual word he used, was helper, to come and help us, to come along inside and help us to be the people that he's called us to be. So as leaders, we need to have the Holy Spirit helping us to lead other people. You know, it's too easy to trust, and I've known many great Christian leaders who were incredibly talented, but they were trusting in their own talent and their own gifts. And you know, the key, one of the keys to life and one of the keys to being a great leader is having a spirit of humility. And you'll see as we go through each of these, this spirit of humility weaves its way through, and there's such a need for us to be humble as leaders. We know that we need God's help, but we also need other people's help. The greatest leaders that I've ever worked for were the guys and girls who didn't think they knew everything. They knew they needed their subordinates' help. They needed their teammates' help. And that was what I tried to incorporate when I started getting promoted at the police department, is pulling people in and saying, listen, I'm new at this. Can you help me? And people appreciate that vulnerability, that you're willing to say, yeah, hey, listen, I don't have all the answers. Can you help me? When I first made sergeant, I pulled my two corporals aside and I said, listen, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I've been around a while and I've got a pretty good idea, but you guys keep me from making, if you see me about to step off a cliff or do something really dumb, let me know. And you know, those guys really appreciated that and they went out of their way to help me. And so in return, I went out of my way to help them and was able to see both of them get promoted to sergeant as well within the next couple of years. So there's something powerful about humility. And another thing, when we're talking about being poor in spirit, sometimes we think we have to have all the solutions. Listen, your job as leaders, especially as a Christian leader, is not to solve everyone's problems. We point them in the right direction. And listen, there's sometimes there's decisions that you make as a leader that only you can make, and I understand that. But as a Christian leader, when people are coming to you with personal problems, personal issues, they're looking for help, it's not always your job to solve their problem. Your job is to help them connect with God. I think one of the greatest phrases, one of the greatest things that we can say as a Christian leader is, says, can I pray for you? When somebody comes with some life shaking, life-shattering issue, and they need to talk about it, you may not be able to solve their problem, but we can immediately turn the focus back to God, because you don't have to have all the answers, and the reality is you don't, and you can pray for them and help them connect with God. Well, then, so that's poor in spirit, then Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Well, that doesn't sound very happy. That's not a very happy thought, to be a leader who is always in mourning. And I think we need to look beyond just the surface here, because I think as leaders, it's very important that we understand, you know, we help people handle tough situations. I mean, that's our job as leaders, especially as a Christian leader. You're helping people work through their issues. You're helping people work through these again, life-shattering, life-shaking situations that they find themselves in, and that often they come and share with you. We're helping people connect with God, and we're helping them deal with it. But here's another really important aspect of leadership is, blessed are those who mourn. Do you allow yourself to be vulnerable to those that you're serving as a leader? And what I'm talking about here is, do you allow those, maybe not everybody, but maybe those in your inner circle, those who are closest to you, do you allow them to know that sometimes you're going through situations too? Our people learn how to deal with tough and difficult situations by how we deal with tough and difficult situations. Do your people see how you handle these difficult situations? Sometimes, I think as leaders, we have this attitude that we have to be perfect, and we have to project this image of self-confidence, and we've got everything under control. And there is a place for self-confidence and projecting that image, but there's also a place for being vulnerable. There's also a place for, when we're dealing with something ourselves, letting those closest to us know, because they're going to learn how to deal with their own stuff by watching us. The reality is, most people catch something rather than just learning something. They see what we do, and they're going to imitate it, especially when it's good. We don't want them to imitate the bad stuff, although that does happen too. But we want to really help people. And so our vulnerability will bring healing to others. It also opens us up to receive God's comfort through other people. I've found, as a leader, and I shouldn't be surprised, but you know, I've been surprised in those times when I've opened up with those in my circle and said, "Hey, listen, I'm dealing with some anxiety about a particular issue, or you know, I'm going through a bout of depression, or I'm dealing with this, or I'm dealing with that," and sharing that and asking my friends to pray for me. Because what I'm doing is, now I'm teaching them how to pray. I'm giving them an opportunity to pray for me, and I'm receiving comfort through them and through God. But what I also find is, when I open up and say, "Hey, listen, I'm dealing with this, or I'm dealing with that," now I'm giving those who I'm serving as their leader, I'm giving them the opportunity to go second. I'm giving them the opportunity to come and say, "Hey, listen, you know what you talked about, I'm battling that too. Could we talk?" So listen, blessed are those who mourn and aren't afraid to hide it, or aren't afraid to share it. There's a place as leaders for being vulnerable. Don't go away. We will be right back. I just wanted to let you know, this episode of Leading and Learning is brought to you by my book, Leading into the 21st Century and Beyond 2.0. This is an amazing book. The chapters are short, and they're all immediately actionable. They're the kind of things that you can easily take and put into practice in your leadership. We talk about supervision. We talk about management. We talk about time management. We talk about goal setting. Absolutely amazing stuff. So I encourage you to check out Leading into the 21st Century and Beyond 2.0. Also, I'm going to highlight, as I mentioned earlier, one of Mac Lake's books, Leading Others. This is for entry-level leaders. This is a great book. It talks not only about the heart of leadership, the characteristics, or the character traits, but it also talks about the competency. So there's a skill and then a character trait to go along with it. So check out Mac Lake's book. If you've never heard of him, trust me, you will really enjoy him. I'm sure you've heard some of his son's music, Brandon Lake, who's really a fantastic worship leader right now. So check it out. I know you'll enjoy it. I know it will help you. Click on the links and you can grab a copy of those. Well, all right. So we've talked about being poor in spirit, this idea of knowing how much we need God and others. We've talked about blessed are those who mourn. Do we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to those we're serving? And then number three is Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Now, meekness is not a word that we necessarily use in 21st century English. But meekness is a very interesting word because it conveys a couple of things. It conveys humility. It conveys an attitude of submission. It also conveys an attitude of strength that is under control. In other words, you don't have to go around telling everybody that you're the boss. You know, your position, your gifting, your talent, your skills doesn't impress God and probably doesn't impress your teammates. What does impress God is our submission, our gentleness, if you will. You know, I've done episodes before on lessons learned from a bad boss, and over the years, and one of the people that I worked for, I'm not going to mention any names, but one of the people that I worked for at the police department, the only thing I can figure now looking back was just very insecure, because when somebody questioned an order, when somebody questioned a decision, when somebody said, hey, I'm not sure, maybe we should look at this, and I'm talking about his close teammates, people who should have the option and the opportunity to ask questions, when they questioned a decision, he would pull his badge out and hold it and say, hey, what does your badge say? Mine says lieutenant, or mine says major, or whatever his rank was. And, you know, obviously the intent was to put them in their place. I've made the decision. Your job's not to question it. And I thought, what a terrible way to lead. But I think sometimes, you know, whether you're in a Christian setting or a secular setting, we can still do that if we're not careful. We can, you know, really get enamored with our position, with our authority. And honestly, one of the greatest things that we can learn is how to lead with gentleness. I've found, you know, I found as a police officer, I found it in the church. I can order people to do something if I've got the position, but it's so much better when I can suggest, maybe explain a little bit, and get people to buy into it and go, man, this is what we need to do. It's much more effective than me having to give orders, like I said, when I was a policeman. It just works much better when people want to follow. Now, in this environment of meekness, what I've found is sometimes there's a tension between people and task. You know, some people are task-oriented, some people are people-oriented. Task-oriented or people-oriented? Which one are you? I tend to be, you know, a little bit more task-oriented, but I've really, really, really worked, and obviously still got a long way to go, but I've really worked on trying to be more people-oriented. I think we can learn how to focus on both. But this idea of meekness, this idea of submission, this idea of gentleness, having a gentle attitude will really help us with this, because we know there's tasks that have to be done, but we also know our people have to be cared for and taken care of. And this is just as true in the secular world as it is in the church. If you don't have any a degree of concern or care for the people that you work with, the reality is you're setting yourself up for failure. But a leader who cares, a leader who genuinely cares about their people and knows something about them, is definitely going to be the leader whose people want to get the task done as well. So I encourage you, to ask yourself, am I a task person or am I a people person? And ask yourself, what can I do to blend the two so that I can be more effective in my leadership? So just a quick recap today. We're talking about the heart of leadership. We talked about this idea of being poor in spirit, knowing that we need God and others. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be an effective Christian leader. Talked about the blessed are those who mourn, not those who are walking around crying, but those who are able to be vulnerable. Sometimes as leaders, we want to project that image of perfection, but it's not real. And our people don't relate to our perfection. They relate to our weaknesses. And then number three is meekness. This attitude of submission, this attitude of humility, this idea of, people aren't impressed with our position, But when we have an attitude of caring, when we have a gentle attitude and we lead with gentleness, we're really going to be an effective leader. Well, we will pick up next time. We will jump right back in and talk more about the heart of leadership. But I'd love to hear from you. We've talked about three really important things. We could build an episode off of each of the ones that we've talked about. They're so vital and so important in this area of leadership. And out of the ones we've talked about today, poor in spirit, being vulnerable, blessed are those who mourn, and then this idea of meekness, which one do you struggle with the most? Which one do you feel like you're good at? I'd love to know. Go to davidspell.com. Leave a question or a comment in the comment section for today's post so that we can keep the discussion going. Make sure you check out my resource highlights, and we will see you next time on Leading and Learning.